Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, chickens. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory.
Okay, here we are. The 60th anniversary of Doctor Who. So we're watching a 60-year-old episode. It's not quite 60 years old yet. It's got a few months to go. It's on the cusp. It's on the cusp of 60. An Unearthly Child, written by Anthony Coburn. And it's I watched it on the BritBox because of my busted leg. I can't get up and put my DVDs in, much as I would love to. But yeah, getting over to the PlayStation is tricky. Also involves making Gary do things. It's like, honey, like he must be so sick of the sound of my voice. Honey, can you bring me the honey? Like it's driving him crazy. So I try to do as many things independently as I can. Like I asked him to bring me all my recording equipment and I've just kind of made this weird nest in my bed. I mean, it's also his bed. He's been sleeping in the lounge because he's worried about banging me in the knee. That's not a euphemism. Like, I meant like bumping into my knee, into my sore knee. Like the wound is healed, but yeah, it's still. I might wait until the scab's dropped off. Oh, yuck. Just thinking about that makes me sick. Anyway, The Unearthly Child. An Unearthly Child. It's not the. It's an indefinite article, not the definite article. An Unearthly Child. It's a bit of a mouthful, An Unearthly Child, isn't it? So it starts with spooky titles. Which still is weird to me. Like the opening credits of Doctor Who still is weird. Like it is unnerving. The music is creepy. The weird noises, the vzz, 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 all that kind of business, and the I think it's called Howl Around is the name of the technique where they would point a camera at a monitor that was showing the output of the camera, so it kind of like feeds back on itself, which is how they kind of got those effects happening. Like when I was deeply, deeply into a nerdy fit, I watched all of the special features on one of the discs. It might have been the Lost in Time disc or maybe the Unearthly Time disc a long time ago. And they've just got like even though they've lost whole episodes of Doctor Who, they seem to have about 20 minutes of just this footage of the opening credits of before they edited them into what became the opening of Doctor Who, just various tests of this technique, but it is creepy and weird, and I still really love it. I'm like, oh man, like 1963, this must have completely blown people's minds. They would have been like, what is this show? Hello. So it starts off with a policeman, London Bobby, with the, you know, the big tall hat. He's wandering around in the fog and he finds a scrapyard. And painted on the doors of the scrapyard, I am Foreman. It's in Todder's Lane. And he tests the gate of the scrapyard and then he wanders off. And then the gate opens. And inside there's scrap. in the yard, as you would imagine in a scrapyard. And there in the corner is the police box, and it's weirdly humming. I did not realize the police box was humming in the very first episode. Like, that is, I completely forgot about this. It's amazing. Then we get the credits, Unearthly Child by Anthony Coburn. The sign, the camera kind of pushes into the sign on the front, you know, with the free for use of public, all that kind of business. And that just kind of goes blurry. And then the camera refocuses and it's the Coal Hill School sign. And there's teenagers in the hallway gossiping. Barbara comes in to visit Ian in his science class and she's whining about Susan Foreman, who's 15 and seems to know, she knows more science than Ian and knows more about history than Barbara. And Barbara told her she should specialize and she said, look, I'll help you at home. But apparently Susan's grandfather doesn't like strangers. Barbara said she went to have a word with the grandfather and when she got to the address that they've got for Susan on the school records, there's nothing there. Just an old junkyard. So Barbara talks Anne into following Susan home, which seems a bit weird for teachers to be doing to a student, but hey. then we see Susan. She's doing a weird dance, listening to some guitar band on a transistor. And she's surprised that Anne knows about the band she's listening to on the radio. He's like, you know, I know stuff. Barbara gives Susan a book on the French Revolution and she's like, I'll bring it back tomorrow. She goes, it's, you know, it's fine. You can have a few days. She goes, no, I'll have read it by then. And they're like, well, can we give you a lift home? Because we're about to drive home. And she's like, no, no, I like walking home in the dark. It's mysterious. And Barbara's like, oh, okay, watch out for the fog. And then Susan starts flipping through the French Revolution book and goes like, oh, that's not right. Oh my God. The French Revolution. She's correcting it. So Barbara and Ian drive up to the junkyard in their car. We don't really see them drive up. We just see them in the car. It's implied that they've been driving. and then they're just reminiscing about some weird stuff that happened with Susan. And we get these little flashbacks of Susan in class. For instance, when she got confused about the decimal system, like about, because they're at this point in time, they're on pounds, shilling and pence. And she's like, oh no, I just forgot when it started in this country. Like, which is kind of weird because it does actually begin. Like the decimal system does begin in about, is it like 10 years? Like when do they flip over to decimal in the UK? Is it in the 70s? Like it started in Australia in 66. So like 3 years after this, Australia went over to decimal currency from pounds, shilling and pence. Apparently the Australian currency at one point was going to be called the Austral. Instead of the dollar, because we're like, well, we don't really too American about it. There was like one of the names of the money that was pitched was the Austral, as in Australia. And someone pointed out it might sound a bit too much like nostril. I don't know how far it got. How far did it get before someone went, no, you don't want to be associating money with shoving things up your nose. The nostril. I just, can you imagine if it got that far? Yeah, it'll cost you 70 nozzes, mate. Yeah, it'll be 60 nozzes to get out of there. I don't know why it's 60 nozzes. Yeah, it'll be a couple of snot sheets. No, that's too bad. Speaking of snot, I don't know if any of you overseas people know that we call vanilla slices snot blocks in this country, which is, and we like vanilla slice is basically a cream slice, but cream goes bad in Australia, so we fill it with kind of jellied custard, and they're bright yellow, so they're called snot blocks. Anyway. Delightful. We eat the most wonderful foods. So, yeah, Ian and Barbara reminiscing about Susan's weirdness in class. Ian recounts how she's, you know, bored with science. Like, there's some weird thing about the litmus paper. And she's like, yeah, yeah, of course. Like, can't we do it? Can't we do something more fun? And then her just saying she can't do sums in only three dimensions. Like... she wants to do fifth dimensional mathematics because he's like A, B and C, and she's like, no, you also need to do D and E. So while they're sitting there reminiscing about Susan and her weirdness, she finally turns up and goes into the scrapyard, and Barbara wants to go in, and Anne's like, come on, Barbara, she's 15. She might be meeting a boy. And Barbara's like, oh, well, that would be amazing because that would be the most normal thing about her. and then Barbara has like a weird psychic moment. She's like, oh, I'm frightened. I feel like we're about to interfere in something that should be left alone. I wonder if the doctor has got a perception filter on the TARDIS at this point, and that's what's causing Barbara to go, yeah, maybe we should stay away. Maybe he's put like a weird perception filter on the whole junkyard, which is why even though the door was clearly open, the policeman, when he went and rattled the gate, kind of thought it was closed and then walked away, but it opened and then, you know, we came through with the camera, but the policeman was not there. I wonder if I can have a theory? This is my theory, that there is a low-level perception filter on the junkyard, and that's why Barbara wants to leave, and that's why the policeman didn't know that the door was open. Oh, there you go. That's exciting. That's fun when you watch the very first episode of Doctor Who and you can retrofit some modern Doctor Who lore into ye oldie episode. That was awesome. All right, we will continue an unearthly child in the next episode, then on to the Cave of Skulls, the Forest of Fear, and the Firemaker. It's four episodes of black and white weirdness from 1963. 60 years old! Oh, so exciting.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.